We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Fucking dogs. That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is the 100 Sanford podcast. As you can tell, I'm excited because we are here to talk some recruiting. Things are going down. Things are getting hotter. It's getting closer to summer, but things are really getting hotter with recruiting. But I got the big G with me. What's up, George?
What's good, man? How about, guess what, man? I woke up, dog still undefeated, man. Ain't that something?
Still undefeated.
Still undefeated. Ain't that's crazy, ain't it? We ain't lost a long, very long time, brother.
Hey, check this out. So the last podcast we were on, I was talking about how they were trying to minimize who we were by ranking us not number one going into the next season, right? Mm-hmm. So right after that, I mean, I started getting texts. All of a sudden, everybody started flipping their narrative and everybody started flipping, you know, where they had Georgia. And they tried to say, well, it was because of spring day. We had Georgia, you know, rated a little bit lower. So now Georgia's ranked number one, preseason ranked number one by most places, unless you're like from Alabama or Tennessee, you know, Florida, something like that. But they're ranked number one. Not only that, man, they're ranked number one in recruiting. We just took over Ohio State this past, I guess yesterday, took over Ohio State as the number one recruiting class right now in the class of 24. So things are starting to heat up big time. We got a big time recruit that came, that committed. Somebody you're familiar with, because you played with the daddy. You played with, you know, somebody that knows the game, and it's Dylan Raiola, man. What are your thoughts on him committing to those dogs?
Hey man, like I'm greedy. You know, I want all the ballers. You know what I mean? But to have a highly touted prospect like him, and me knowing the stock that he comes from, the household that he comes from, I'm happy, very very happy to have him. You know what I mean? So very talented kid. You know, like I said, comes from a good home. His dad was very cerebral when he came to the game, you know, tough, you know what I mean? Play center, played in the trenches, you know what I mean? So I know Dylan would have a good respect for the guys that's blocking for him in front of him. I'm pretty sure his dad then told him, hey, these your best friends, you know, take care of them. What I mean? So it's good, man. It's a great, great situation. I'm glad we got him. Now it's time to go to work, trying to keep him on the work. And I expect him committing to be a huge domino, you know. So
this
domino falls, and it's about to be, you know, hopefully a windfall.
Yeah, man. It's funny you say that because Nitro Tuggle, as soon as he committed, he tweeted something that had dominoes falling. You know, that's what his tweet was. It was a gift that had dominoes falling, man. And that's what happens. You know, I know last year the big fish out there was Manning, right? And everybody wanted Arch Manning, and everybody, you know, he's highly touted, number one recruit. And you know what? When you really look at Arch, I'm not minimizing who he is at all. Mm-hmm. Kid can play. Comes from a small school, just like his uncles did, you know, played at a small private school, things like that. But he did have some deficiencies, I mean, that showed up on tape. They do. There's no doubt about that. All high schoolers are going to have that. But as soon as Georgia didn't get him, you had people saying, oh, now people going to say, oh, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, because he didn't go to Georgia. Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't the case. I mean, if you really look at his tape, he did have some things he needs to grow in. And obviously, after the first spring game, you know, there were some videos out there about how his arm strength was and, you know, his pocket presence. All those things change over time. You know, there's no doubt about that. But when it comes to, like, somebody like Dylan, man, I think it's such a domino effect. It's such a big impact. And it's the same thing that happened with Arch. That's why I brought it up. Mm-hmm. When Arch committed, all of a sudden Texas started getting some of their boys in, right? Some big boys in, some guys saying, you know what? The quarterback is there. The NIL money's there. The prestige is there, right? You know, the cachet is going to be there. I'm going to go with Arch. Well, you get Dylan to come to Georgia. The same thing happens. And not only that, you're going to a two-time national champion back-to-back. You're going to probably arguably the best college coach there is in the game right now, arguably the best college staff there is right now, the best facilities. You're getting everything you need. And not only that, NDA, you know what I'm saying? You're close to Atlanta. You're close to a lot of things that can really propel your career. Man, this could be a huge domino effect, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
It's for me, it's common sense. I know you have to look at a number of things when you're coming out of high school, going and picking a college. But from a football program aspect, you know, it's there's no better place to sign. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whether it's 3, 4, 5 years, there's no better place to be. You know, Athens is special. What they're building there is special. I'm really winning the second championship in a row. It kind of wipes out all doubt that it was a fluke or anything, or right. Like it proves that, okay, this program knows how to win football games. Mm-hmm. You know, they know how to win championships. They know how to win the big game. You know, the tough games. Like they know what it takes to get to the top. And so who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Like, I know there are other factors, you know, some teams, you know, some schools are gonna, you know, butter guys up really well and all that stuff. But when it comes down to football program, I don't think there's any better place to be. You know, it's in the year of 2023 and really 2017, 18, 19 and beyond. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%.
We're a really, really good program.
Yeah.
You know, top of the line.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And even when you look at, I mean, I don't know how guys are being recruited these days. I mean, obviously there's some NIL talk. There's the NFL talk. We can get you to the NFL. Almost every program is saying that, especially the big dogs that are able to say that. But if I'm a recruiter, and even if I'm a recruit, I'm looking at the longevity of a program. I'm looking at who's going to be there, the consistency. Nick Saban ain't getting any younger. He's getting a little bit older. You know what I mean? And you can tell just by the guys that he's going after. You can tell just by his coaching staff hires. Nick is getting to the point where it's like, look, I'm giving my last few shots here before I kind of dip out or I get a little bit too long in the tooth for this game. But then you got to start looking at other programs. You got to start saying, okay, is Florida going to be able to rebuild itself? Well, they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
At Texas, yeah, you got Arch Manning, but is Sarkisian going to be the guy down there? Is he really going to build that program after they come over to the SEC? We don't know about that, right? You got Lincoln Riley out there in USC. Now, if there's any program that could really challenge Georgia, to me, it would be USC, but I don't necessarily trust Lincoln Riley.
Yeah,
they got the cachet, they got the money, they got the celebrity, they got everything that they need, but to me, they don't have Kirby Smart.
Defensively, they've just been struggling so much.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't have the defensive, you know, mindset to win big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They, you know, and we got to see if he's going to replace the, you know, who everyone says is going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft next year. You know,
when you got
number one pick as your quarterback, you're going to be better than most teams. You know what I mean? Yeah. What you going to do after he leaves? You know what I mean? So, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, Georgia is just, you know, we got to see, is Clemson going to get back on track?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got Texas, you got Bama. I think Bama never falls too far. But, you know, you got to wonder what they're doing at quarterback position down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Who else is, you know, Ohio State.
Yeah, I was going to say the name that you could have mentioned was them, State, but they lost they lost Raiola, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was going to be their guy.
Yeah, and so you got Ohio State, who stays immensely talented, you know, so, you know, all across the board. They have, you know, they have defensive ends, you know, wide receivers at the wazoo, you know, finally got that top tier quarterback, you know, with CJ that just went to the NFL. But it's just something they've been missing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if it's, you know, they got enough talent to win. Is the captain of the ship, you know, the right captain, who knows? You know,
yeah, I mean? That's interesting that you say that, man, because a lot of people are actually putting Ryan Day on the hot seat. Now, I think it's crazy.
That's nuts.
He's on the hot seat.
They used to do the same. They used to do the same thing with Coach Rick.
Right.
Like, and 10 game right.
It's crazy, right? Absurd. I mean, he's a missed field goal away from probably winning a national championship. They would have beaten TCU themselves, right?
They would have TCU to sleep.
Right. So, I mean, his legacy would have been solidified. But like you mentioned, there's just something there that's not connecting. And then when you got Michigan and Harbaugh trying to build what he's building, and he's a quarterback away, right? I mean, last year, their quarterback actually didn't play up to par. That's why TCU actually comes in and beats them. So there's a lot to be said for that quarterback thing. But it's funny also that you mentioned Ohio State with what they have and their talent that they have, the wide receiving crew. A big domino that could fall. One, Dylan Raiola already fell. Well, there's a guy named Jeremiah Smith from the state of Georgia, Ohio State commit, that a lot of people are actually pegging that, hey, Georgia might be able to pull him back to Athens. So you talk about that big domino, right? That's a lot, man. That's a lot.
Like, it's just, you know, it's something about being from this state, and you know, if your roots are truly in this state, like there's no better place to be, man. It's perfect locale. Like for me, it was close enough to home, but far enough away from home to have some type of, you know, independence and autonomy, and you know, and it was just Georgia, man. Like that's you know, playing for, and then, like, you know, I played for, you know, a team that, you know, a school that, you know, they had a legacy, but it was long, but huge success was, you know, way back in the past, you know, by the time I got there. And these kids right here, they coming up on two-time national championship Georgia. That's what they know.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, why not go join that program? So we're gonna see, you know, it like I would,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course.
If I was a kid, you know what I mean? I would, but you know, like I said, but it's a lot of other things at play, man. This NIL stuff is real.
Yeah,
it's real. It's real, and it's real money. It's money that ain't no way I could have. It's probably a good thing we ain't have. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I could have helped my parents out though. That would have been cool. These kids have a lot. You know, they have a. You know, they can do a lot of. They can do a lot of good things should they choose to with this NIL stuff. So it's a lot to think about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first we got to give some kudos, though, man. We got to give some kudos to my man Bobo, because a lot of people were down on Bobo. You know, he's going to be the offensive coordinator, and what he did in the past, we lost Monkey. And, well, you know what? He helped close the deal, too. I mean, a quarterback's going to come for his OC, right? He's got to know who he's going to be accepting calls from, you know, learning from. So we got to give our props to Mike Bobo. And now on deck. What's that?
And I could just knowing Dominic, his dad, Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he had a lot of questions for Bobo. And Bobo, I'm pretty sure Bobo, apparently he answered them to his liking.
Exactly. Because you know what? It's funny that you say that too, because it's a big difference than somebody sitting in the room with you that, you know, maybe played college football, you know, played some high school football. But no, your dad's in the room and your dad's a, you know, 11-year pro. I mean, he's had some quarterbacks that have been on his backside that know the game, and offensive coordinators and coaches that know the game, and people that can really break this thing down. And not only that, can look in the eyes of a man and really see, you know, what is this guy really truthful or is he not? You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you can tell the alphas in the room, you can tell the big dogs in the room, and you can tell who's full of crap and who's not. And I think that's a big deal.
And you got to understand, he snapped the ball to Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure, you know, he could, you know, still has a relationship with Stafford. Mm-hmm. He can get Stafford's, you know, Stafford didn't play for Kirby, but he can get some, you know, little tidbits on University of Georgia and how it is to be from out of state and play at the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, so just thinking back in retrospect, it probably was the perfect storm to, you know, for us to land Raiola.
Yeah. Well, I know the other thing that was on deck and people were thinking about was, okay, well, you land Raiola. What's up with Ryan Puglisi? You know, we have mm-hmm. our Graham Coffey reached out to him immediately after the commitment and asked mm-hmm. him, you know, what's up with this? And he said, look, I'm still tapped into Georgia. You know, and that's great to hear, you know, especially in this day and age, because a lot of kids will take a commitment from a quote unquote higher rated recruit and immediately mm-hmm. start looking elsewhere, immediately mm-hmm. start looking at a different program. And you know what? It's we're coming up on June. It may happen. Who knows? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we got what, 6-7 months before signing day, before these guys are able to actually sign on the dotted line and actually commit early or whatever. But
listen,
what's up?
If you want to play big time college football, you ain't got but a few choices.
Facts.
And a lot of times, you know, and, you know, throughout this process, you know, Puglisi, he committed months ago.
Mm-hmm.
These big time programs got their guys too. You know what I mean? So what you're gonna leave one program to compete against another 4 or 5 star? You know, it's not going to happen. Like I feel like he has the right approach.
Yeah.
You know, he has the right approach. Come in and
compete,
you know, cause you have to feel like, with their track record, they're going to play the best guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, everybody wanted Fields, Fromm couldn't lose.
Facts.
No matter how you feel about him,
no matter how it turned out, exactly,
he couldn't lose. He won a lot of football games, you know. Mm-hmm. Walk on 5'10", you know, 185-pound quarterback that nobody could beat out the last 2 years. They played the best guy for the job, so facts. This program bodes well for guys who want to compete. You know what I mean? You gotta feel good about the chances that they're gonna play the best guy. And if you feel like you're that dude, you stay and you compete. It's really that simple.
Facts. Well, I think Graham Coffey popped on for a moment. He's in the middle of traveling. But Graham, are you there?
What's up? What's up, boys? How's it going?
What's up? I see you with the great blue yonder behind you.
That's right, yeah, man. That's the rig right there. See the ooh-wee. Yeah. For those who aren't watching the video feed of this, I'm in the middle of an Oklahoma City parking lot, pulling a 30-foot travel trailer back from the East Coast out home. So, yeah, sorry I wasn't on sooner, but I take it you guys are talking about the Raiola commitment, yeah.
Yeah, yep, that and along Raiola. With Ryan Puglisi, you know what I mean? So what are your mm-hmm. thoughts on first Raiola and then Raiola at the same time, you know, Puglisi, because I know you had a chance to reach out to him.
Right, yeah. I mean, with Raiola, I think, you know, it's he's got that juice, right? Like as far as the recruit in terms of just the other star recruits in this class, like they are drawn to that kid in a way that we rarely see. And I think the closest thing we've seen to it in recent years is probably Arch Manning at Texas last year. But because it's Kirby and Georgia and you're coming off back-to-back national titles, I feel like this is even more than what we saw with Manning. And so I think, you know, Rail is that first domino, and then you've got a lot of five-star players who are, you know, all of a sudden more interested in Georgia than they were before, or have become interested in Georgia because of his involvement. You know, will you land all of them? No, absolutely not. But I mean, you know, Jason, one of our partners over on Dog Central, he did a recruiting update yesterday, and you know, and it just talking about the 2024 class, there's five-star wide receivers on there that, you know, Georgia is legitimately involved with right now. Like, that's crazy. So I think the skill talent that is going to follow him is going to be significant. But Puglisi is a very, very toolsy player, right? Like, I think he's a little rawer than Dylan is, but he has a big arm. He's got the legs. Like, you know, he's a strong, big kid. I mean, I don't want to – it's hard to comp a high school kid to an NFL player, but, like, the style of his game has a little of that, like, Josh Allen type kind of vibe to it, right, where, like, he is big enough to kind of put his shoulders down and run up the middle and get yards when he needs to. I think the interesting part, though, is just – you know, he has been recruiting for Georgia this entire time, right? And, you know, I think that he deserves some credit and probably some love from Georgia fans because, you know, he committed last year in October. And, yeah, I did talk to him the day that Dylan committed. I talked to him within, I think, 30 minutes or so of Rayola going public, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, when I committed on October 16th of last year, I decided then that I was going to be a Bulldog, and nothing about that is going to change, right? So I think he's in this for the long haul. He's definitely saying all the right things. There's no wavering on his part. And he is talented enough to where there is a world in which, you know, he ends up being the guy, right? Like these guys are going to come in and they're going to compete with each other. And Rayola is, you know, probably the favorite, but – so Gleason is very talented, and he's a good high football IQ type kid, and you know, there would be a certain level of irony almost if you know, Rayola helps land all of these five star receivers, and then Gleason ends up being the guy that's, you know, throwing to him. So it's going to be interesting, but I think this is one of those where with these five star quarterbacks, they're almost a little more willing to stack themselves into the same class and duel it out on a level playing field than they are to go behind a five-star kid that's a year ahead of them and already has a year in the offense and a leg up on knowing how the system works and adjusting to college, because it's really hard to catch somebody from behind when they've got a year on you like that. But you put two of these guys in, I would assume both will early enroll in December for bowl practices, and they get to kind of grow at the same time and really see who might be most well-suited to try and be the starter for Georgia in 2024, depending on what happens with Beck and Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton as well.
Yeah, because, you know, what's interesting when you say that, anything could happen with Beck, right? Beck could have a phenomenal year and then leave. Right now, and then you're starting to square one. You're starting square one with Vandegrift. You're starting square one with Stock, Gunner. Right. You're starting with Puglisi and, you know, Rayola. I mean, you would have an all-out war in that quarterback room. But you know what's funny is that the best guy that comes out and wins that battle, man, lights out. I mean, you can just forget about it. That team's going to take off like we've never seen it before offensively with the quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's not far-fetched. It's so many weapons at Georgia that you have to – you can pretty much – unless something just flames out, you can pretty much you can pretty much count on Beck having really good numbers next year.
Mm-hmm.
And he has size. He has an arm. So it's not far-fetched that he plays pretty well and has the opportunity to leave. You know what I mean? A lot of people project nowadays. You know what I mean? So does he play himself into a top 15 pick, first round pick? What if he plays himself into a second round prospect, third round prospect?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good career. That's a good start to a career. You know what I mean? He may leave, and like you said, now you're back at square one. You know, competition is on.
It's a race at that point.
And like we were saying earlier, man, you know, ain't nothing to it but to compete. You know what I mean? So I'm not surprised that Puglisi, you know, is, you know, doubling down on his commitment, you know, for now. Because like, there's really, like, what else would you do? You know what I mean? You're going to go to a lesser school, or you're going to go, you know, I know somebody like maybe, you know, Alabama could use them or whatever, but.
No, that's right.
You know what I mean? But like, where else do you go? You know, if you want to play big time college football, like I said a few minutes ago, if you want to play big time ball, those teams have their guys for the most part. You know what I mean? So you might as well duke it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, personally, if I'm recruiting a quarterback, I don't want one that doesn't think he can beat out the number one player in the country or another five-star quarterback, right? Like,
right.
You know, my roommate my freshman year at Georgia was Matthew Stafford's starting tight end in high school in Dallas, right? And they knew each other, and you know, we were a year behind Stafford in school, but you know, I remember asking him one time. I was like, well, you know, like, is like, how is Stafford? Like, is he cocky? You know, like, he's the chosen one, right? Like, you know, Mel Kiper's already calling him the someday number one draft pick, and he was like, I mean, yeah, like he's got a little bit of like cockiness to him, but to be that good, you gotta have some of that, right? Like I don't, you know, you don't want a quarterback that doesn't have some confidence, right? And there's healthy confidence and unhealthy confidence, and I think both these kids are very talented and have faith in their own abilities while also saying all the things that you would want a good teammate to say. But it is going to be interesting to see how the dominoes fall, not just on the recruiting trail, but you know, what if Carson Beck has an okay year but not a great year, and you know, wants to come back to Georgia for another season, and he's been in the offense, but maybe, you know, maybe the ceiling is higher with one of these younger guys, or, you know, Vandegrift, you know, what does that look like? So I think the odds of Georgia going into next season or even next spring practice with Puglisi, Rayola, Stockton, and Vandegrift probably aren't that great, right? But, you know, stranger things could happen. And I mean, Vandegrift does know the offense. And, you know, you go back and watch G-Day, and I don't know, he had some very nice moments. And he had a couple drives in there where it was like, okay, you know, if this is what it looks like when he's clicking, then this is good. So I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. But I think, you know, you're talking about with Rayola and the dominoes that are going to come behind him, you're looking at a class that is going to probably end up being the highest rated recruiting class we've ever seen by any school in college football history. Georgia could legitimately land five or six of the top 10 players in the country in this class.
Well, Graham, I tell you what, man, we've, you know, thanks for hopping on. I mean, you can stay on, no doubt about it. We got our guests getting ready to come on today. You know, we're talking football recruiting, and it's hot right now. There's no doubt about it. We got to continue to talk about this throughout the entire summer, because like you said, the dominoes are now falling, right? I mean, we're talking about Dylan Raiola. We're talking about the chances of bringing in Brandon Baker. number one tackle in the country, right? Talking about Jeremiah Miller, the number one wide receiver. I mean, there's a lot of big five stars that are going to fall. And, you know, maybe Georgia snatches a few, flips a few, but I would put nothing past that recruiting staff. You know, Kirby's the lead guy, but I would put nothing past that entire staff to bring in the guys that we need to bring on, but bring in. But we have to switch it, Graham. We have to flip it right now. As I just talked about flipping.
All right, fellas. No worries. Enjoy it with Charles. I got to hop back behind the wheel anyway, so this is probably a good time for me to jump off anyways.
All right, man.
Safe travels, man.
Safe travels, brother. Safe travels.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. So you heard me talking about us flipping some things, man. We got to switch because things are now getting hot, not just for Georgia football, but for Georgia basketball.
Definitely.
And everybody's been waiting to talk about Georgia basketball. I mean, we're not going to mention that name that left the program last year, left it in shambles. It's like, you know, Harry Potter, you know, you can't that name you can't mention. But we're going to bring in a guest that can talk about Mike White, talk about the program. He is a former DGD. Well, he is a DGD, not a former DGD. You're always a DGD, right?
Always.
Always a DGD. All SEC. All SEC freshman. He's from Queens, y'all. Y'all know. You already know what he can do with the basketball. He's from Queens, right? Charles Mann Jr., what's up?
How's it going, guys? I appreciate you guys taking time to have me. I appreciate the kind words.
No, we appreciate you coming on the show.
But everybody's busy nowadays, man. We appreciate you taking your time out, man. We appreciate you making that long trip down to, you know, the great state of Georgia to go to school and play ball for the Dawgs, man. How did you make the decision, you and your family, whatnot, for you to make that long trick? Like I've been to Queens a few times. It's a bit different. It's a bit different from Athens, Georgia. You know, what made you make that decision?
We just made, you know, family-wise, we made a move down here in which my family moved to Atlanta when I was gone in eighth grade. So I've been here in the state for a while, and I just didn't want to leave the state. I wanted to stay close to family and friends and be close to, like I said, to family and, you know, try to put on for the state. And, you know, I chose to stay in state. You know, I play college basketball there, and, you know, I don't regret the situation or regret the choice I've made, but that's just kind of where it all started.
And piggyback off of that, you have to appreciate that, because I've always felt that, and it definitely ties into what you do now for the university. I always felt that, and you know as well as we know, that Georgia can compete nationally and can compete for an actual national title with the talent that's just in this state. You know what I mean? Like, I'm older than you, so I go back to Deion Glover, you know, Dwight Howard, I forgot his name, Pablo Machado, maybe. You had Travis. Lou Will, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mike Mercer. We had Jermaine Jones, Smooth, Jalen Brown, Anthony Edwards. Like, come on, bro, that's national championship. What will it take for the program to start keeping these guys in state? You know, I've gotten to some. You know, I'm friends with a few people, like, you know, Tasha Humphrey on the basketball side, you know, on the women's side. She has some opinions on, you know, the state of, the, you know, what would attract guys and get them to stay. And do you feel like we're on that track? And what do you think will take for guys to stay in state?
I think it depends. Well, a big part of it is just the coaching staff, I think. You know, even when I went there, we had a great coaching staff. But I think just, you know, the staff that we have up there now, like, you know, head coach Mike White and his staff he put together could really, you know, they have a past history of success and of getting guys to which, you know, they want to go to put their goals and playing pro and, you know, playing overseas or playing in the NBA. I just think, you know, guys got to feel comfortable with coach and seeing his past success and history of, it, of his track record of having guys make it to high levels and whatnot. But I just think, you know, especially now, I think, you know, since we've been there a year, going into year two, we kind of got our feet under us. You know, we had a couple guys who joined the program for the season, a couple of highly talented recruits. Just think it's a belief, and, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And, you know, it's a process, and we understand it's a process. It's going to be day in, each day, each week, you know, taking one day at a time. But I think slowly but surely, you know, we'll get this thing turned around and, you know, start having those top guys who want to stay in state.
You know, one of the things I look at is that, you know, some people believe that you can't have success at football and basketball. You can't have multiple success in multiple programs. Somebody's got to be the lead dog. Somebody's got to be the big dog. I think it's a lie. I think actually you're able to tag team. You're actually able to ride the coattails to propel yourself forward, right? What is Georgia doing right now from a basketball standpoint off the heels of the football team's back-to-back national championships? Is there anything the basketball program's doing, like you mentioned, to change the culture? Because to me, that's really all it is. It's a culture thing, right? You got to change the culture to then move forward. What is the basketball program doing with Coach Mike White and the rest of the staff?
No, for sure, yeah. I mean, you know, the university has been just pretty much about Georgia football. But, you know, like you said, we're trying to change it, trying to make it a basketball school as well. But I just think it takes time. We have a great relationship with the football staff. A couple of those coaches are some of my closest friends. So, I mean, they want us to be good. You know, they come to all the basketball games in which they can make. You know, they talk about basketball. They kind of play, staff play with our staff, you know, during free time. But, you know, we just try to kind of follow and just try to learn from kind of what they do and just kind of have that swagger, you know, on the basketball side as well. And especially, you know, with football coming up with back-to-back national championship, you know, we just trying to ride some of that energy. And I know we got the hype for the basketball season. So just try to, you know, like you said, trot off from, you know, the energy and the excitement of the football and try to, you know, control that offense in the fall during the basketball season as well.
You know, when you look at the, you know, Kirby Smart's calling card is defense, right? I mean, that's what he focuses in on. He changed that defense around, and all of a sudden now here comes the offense. What is the basketball program looking at, focusing in on, starting with next year's class, right? Is it the offensive side of the ball? Is it defense? Or is it a collective thing that, you know, working strong on both sides of the ball?
First and foremost, you know, we want guys who want to be here and guys who, you know, who want to, you know, be a basketball player 24/7, which I think we did a good job at, you know, some of this year's classes that, but not Coach White is, you know, big on defense, you know, he don't care about what you do on offense. You know, he gives you some leash offensively, but, you know, defensively it's non-negotiable. So you have to be a two-way player in order to fit and to succeed in Mike White's system. And with the guys we got coming in, I mean, there are two-way players, you know, love to compete, love to go out there and win, and they want to help Jordan get to where we all think we should be at.
Now, before these guys sign, are you able to talk about any of the incoming players? Because I know you guys got like 9 guys coming in. I mean, you got portal guys, you got recruits coming in. One of the guys that's up from around my area, Jalen Deloach, because I'm up here at VCU right now. That boy can ball. He can play. He can flat out get it done. Are you able to talk a little bit about these guys, or, you know, because of?
I mean, I won't say too much, but yeah, I'm talking about a little bit. But yeah, like you said, all those guys. I mean, every guy we've got coming in, you know, brings something special to the team, and you know, we see something in them which can help us get to where we get to. So like, even a freshman, we signed 4 of the top 100 guys in the nation. You know, Boone Kane is out of IMG Academy. Combo guard, you know, very, very skilled offensively, really can shoot the ball. He has all these guys have a dog in them. Amari Jordan goes to North Cross High School, 6'6", long wing, you know, slasher, athletic, defender. You know, he has offensive game. He has a nice mid-range pull-up. So he brings something unique to us. Silas Demery, another top 100 kid, 6'4", 6'5", point guard, big, strong. You know, run a team, finish at the rim. You know, he excels in ball screens. I'm just trying to think of the plug and I was making sure I'm not missing nobody. And Dylan James, our last recruit coming out of high school, a 6'9" stretch four man who can really shoot the ball. And all those guys bring something unique to the team. And, you know, they are all competitors and two-way players. So, you know, we're super excited for all those guys and us. And even with some of the guys in the portal, big Russell from South Florida, 7 feet, 280, big, strong monster on the block, physical. This is, I think, the first time in which Jordan actually has a 7-footer coming in. So, I mean, we're super excited about them. RJ Melendez, University of Illinois, shooter, stretch. He can create and ball screen, small, athletic. You know, we're super excited to have him. You know, Illinois was a winning culture, so, you know, he brings some of that knowledge down to our team as well. Jalen DeLoach, like you said, you know, he's from Atlanta, Skills Factory. I had a great relationship with him. He went to VCU. I was at VCU as the GA when he was coming in, I was leaving. So I had a great relationship with him. You know, he worked at TSF. I trained there, which is playing from athletic monster, you know, plays hard, active, mobile. So, you know, we're excited about him. RJ as well. He was the Division II player of the year at Nogger Southeastern, 6'8", 6'9", forward, can shoot it, can drive it, you know, athletic. So, you know, we're super excited about him as well. I'm trying to think. I think I'm missing another. Oh, Noah from Niagara, a scoring combo guard. He can really fill it up. Lefty. They compare him to James Harden, which is a unique and impressive comparison. What I mean, he can really fill it up and score. I'm missing one more.
I think you said Russell. You already called
said Russell.
Yeah.
I think I hit everybody.
Yeah, you hit everybody.
When I got a couple questions with so many new faces, do you worry about continuity issues, or do you think basketball is basketball and guys are going to be able to come in and adapt pretty quickly?
No, I mean that's definitely you worry about that. Every team in America is worried, especially nowadays. You know, with sport. NIL and stuff like that. So you're bringing in several new keys to the pieces of the team each year. So we got all the pieces. Now it's about trying to make all those pieces fit into one puzzle, in which, you know, will be challenging a little bit. We'll need time, but I think, you know, Coach White and staff, you know, we'll have no problem with trying to put all those pieces together and try to, you know, play as one and, you know, play to where we want to get to. But we know it's going to be a process. But, you know, we're ready for the challenge. And since these guys come back in June, we lock and load it.
And it sounds like from your descriptions of the guys, sound like we got bigger. I'm a believer in that, you know, especially when you get deep into a season, size matters in basketball. You know, it just gives you the advantage on even rebounding, loose balls, all that stuff. It's just, you know, being big just matters. You know what I mean? Was that a focus in general? Is getting more size and length? And how do you feel that you know, will make you guys a better team?
Yeah. You know, the SEC is hard. It's one of the best leagues in America on basketball. And like you said, it's size, athleticism, skill. I mean, it's huge in the SEC. So, you know, this offseason, we definitely wanted to focus on just bringing in, you know, bigger, stronger athletic dudes, you know, dudes who have great character, you know, dudes who go to school and, you know, handle the academic part as well. But, you know, we did focus and wanted to bring in, you know, bigger dudes, more athletic, and just try to be a bigger team, you know, just to bring in dudes who wanted to be here as well. Not saying that just dudes slash you didn't want to be here, but just bringing in great dudes and guys who fit the way coach wants to play and fits the scheme.
You know, I think unlike football, basketball is one of those games where guys can gel so quick. What do you guys have in place? What is your plan to get these guys to gel so fast? I know my father, he's a huge Pitt alum. And, you know, Justin Capel had a few bad classes. All of a sudden, he brings in these transfers and boom, they're in the tourney. You know what I mean? They get to the 32. And so it can happen that quick. It can happen that fast. What are you guys doing starting in June to get your guys acclimated to the system, acclimated to each other, and really that bond? Because once you have that close-knit bond, I mean, it's like, man, look, if we're all doing the wrong thing, we can still win. If we're all doing the right thing. So what is your process for that?
Of course, as of today with social media, all these guys know each other. I mean, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. All these guys know each other. You don't have to play against each other in AAU, travel ball, high school, whatever it may be. So these guys have a relationship already. And, you know, the big thing for us is just having guys around each other. You know, guys live together. You know, guys go eat together, go out at nighttime together. You know, just kind of being around each other just to, you know, create that chemistry and that trust between each other. And I think that's just the biggest. You know, we brought in a whole bunch of new guys, and even when our guys returning, we got great people in that locker room, you know, off the court. So we don't really worry about that. Just, you know, as soon as June hit, you know, we're just on the grind and locked in. But it's just about our guys just kind of all being around each other. You know, just having a good time and developing that trust and that chemistry between the whole team.
Something just crossed my mind that I feel like it's been really cool with football to see sometimes is having the OGs come back, guys that's been in that program that, you know, bleed, you know, red and black, you know, like yourself, like you were in it, you know, that's going to pay dividends. Like you understand Georgia basketball and Georgia sports culture. I'm pretty sure they can lean on with that. Have you guys thought about implementing some of that within the program, or has it always been like you guys, like you know, you got Dominique, of course. Dominique, of course. I don't try to remember. I can't remember if Terry Fair is still alive and living. You got the what's my man that plays for the Jazz, his uncle. The kid from Woodward Academy. He was
Kessler.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, do you guys have some of the older cats from the program come back?
For sure. I think that's key, because I mean, you know, throughout the history, I mean, Georgia has had success. You know, when I was in school, we made it to the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, they made it to a Final Four. So, you know, having those guys and guys who played pro come back just to show the love for the program is huge. And I think, you know, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be back, for my Coach White, you know, bring me back. But, you know, we do have those guys come back. So, like, KCP has been back. You know, he played with the team. Anthony Edwards, you know, Nick Claxton, all those guys that play in the NBA right now. I have a great relationship with all those guys. I speak to those guys daily. You know, they all, you know, plan to come back and have came back this past summer. And, you know, even guys who play overseas, like the J.J. Fraziers, the Deontay Maidens, Travis Leslie, you know, Gerald Robinson, Trey Tompkins, all those guys, you know, usually come back throughout the summer. A few of those guys have came back this past year. But even before them, like Jermaine Jones, all those guys, we had like a Letterman day in which all those guys come back, you know, we sit down, eat, talk, have a good time, have them watch practice, just to create that chemistry and that love for the programs, just so the old heads can kind of see the current team and players and meet them and just kind of have a good culture on it. But I think that plays a huge part in, you know, creating and developing a successful team, you know, having those old, you know, successful guys who play for now just come back and be around the program and whatnot.
You know, you guys bring that up, and then it takes me back to a different type of question, because now you got the portal, right? I mean, obviously you got 9 guys coming in, more than half are from the portal, right? But you also got NIL, the NIL impact. As director of recruiting, how is that impacting your ability to bring in guys? I mean, what is the thought process? Because it used to be, I'm going to the high schools, I'm going to the AAU. Now you got to go to those, plus you got to evaluate talent across the nation, keep your eye on the portal. What's your process?
It's a different game nowadays. I wish they had this when I was in school. Man, I missed out on a lot. It's different now. I mean, that's just college sports nowadays with NIL, portal, whatnot. I mean, guys now don't go to a university for playing time, for relationships with the coach. They go to a university now because of money or because of whatever it may be. And, you know, it is what it is. And as a staff, and, you know, you just got to kind of deal with it and adapt to it. It makes recruiting a little bit harder just because now guys have agents, and now you got to speak to the agents. You got to speak to the trainer. You got to speak to the parents. You know, it's a money tag that's along the athlete. It makes it a lot more difficult. But, you know, we just try to seek out the best guys who fit our system, best guys who fit our schemes, you know, on the court and off the court. You know, just go from there. But it's a very dangerous game. And I'm hoping maybe in the future, you know, the NCAA would put a cap on it or could try to restrict it a little bit better. But it's a free game nowadays with this.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of the NIL, but I'm like yourself. I think there needs to be some form of cap, some type of regulation that allows the player to, you know, continue to monetize themselves, no doubt about it. But at the same time, put the organization or put the school in a predicament, in a more positive predicament of being able to handle all of it. I mean, it's incredible. You could go into the next season thinking, I got 15 guys coming back. Look in the portal, you got four guys coming back. You know, I mean, it's that crazy, all because of either the money or, you know, a perceived opportunity elsewhere. You know, I mentioned Queens earlier because New York City is like the birthplace of guards, point guards. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a shorter guy. I love the point guard position. What are you doing to get one of those guards down to Athens? Because y'all need a dog at point guard. I mean, you can go up there in Queens and pull out anybody from almost any block and get somebody that can handle the rock. But what's your perception about, you know, just the whole New York City lifestyle and you know, and the way their guards kind of dominate dominate the landscape?
I think Justin Hill returning, you know, he's from Texas. He had a pretty solid year last year, and, you know, in hopes, you know, we're hoping for, you know, a breakout year for him, which, you know, we feel real good about putting the ball in his hands and then he got to do to help us get to where we're getting to. And also, you know, Silas coming in, you know, he's an bigger guard, 6'4", 6'5". You know, we're very confident in what he does and, you know, helping us get to where we're getting to. And even in Luke Gay, he plays kind of a combo guard as well. And, you know, he does things in which you can tell he just got that swagger. I think guards up north is definitely different. Basketball up north is different, that's for sure. And, you know, it goes back to blacktop, you know, going outside, going out there and just going to hoop. But I think a large part of that was because of people like Hot Sauce, and, you know, Professor and One Basketball. That's kind of where it kind of generated from, you know, out there in New York, in the Bronx, and Brooklyn, and stuff like that. But, no, I feel good about the guys we got coming, the guys we're returning. I mean, of course, it would be nice to have a guard or a player from up there, New York or whatnot. But I feel confident and love the guys we have, and I think we got the right guys. So I'm not too big on that.
Do you think basketball is, you know, is obviously a team sport? Do you think, and so like the collective can go far if they playing good ball, playing hard, playing together. But from the talent perspective, do you think to go far, do you need professional caliber players to go far? Do you need NBA overseas? Do you need those level players to make a Sweet 16? Because I don't know. Like from the outside looking in, I don't know what those players look like, so to speak. Like I know what the top guys look like, but I don't know what the 15th man, the 13th man on the Bulls looks like in college. Yeah. Does it take? Pro level guys to go far in college football, or can you make it happen with less than pro level guys?
I think first and foremost, you need a coach. You need a coach to put you in the right system, put you in the right, you know, position to have success. And, you know, with Coach White and the staff that we got, you know, that's what we check that box right there. I think, and also, you know, after the coach, you need guys who are going to believe in the system, you need guys who are going to believe in the coach, and you need guys who are going to believe in each other. Of course, you need talented people in order to have success, but there's our team. Like this year, this past year, FAU, they don't have not one. Florida Atlantic University doesn't have not one five-star, not a four-star, maybe not a three-star. They make it to Final Four. So it just depends on, you know, you just have the right guys. Of course, it would be easier if you have McDonald's All-American, top five pick, top three pick. It makes it a little bit easier, but that comes with negativity and cons as well. So I think it was just the balance of coaching, getting the right guys to fit your system, and, you know, just luck, honestly, injuries as well. Because, I mean, that plays a big part in a team, you know, making it to a Final Four, winning a national championship. So it's just a balance of all those things, I think. But, you know, if you do have those NBA, you know, once-in-a-generation type of guys, yeah, it makes it a lot easier. But at the end of the day, there are only so many of them. So you got to get the right guys, guys who want to work, guys who are hungry, guys who believe in the system, guys who take care of the stuff off the court as well, you know, in order to get there. Because, like I said, you can have all the most talented guys and still not get there because of some of those other things. So I think it's a balance of it all.
Well, you know, because you've had an interesting career yourself, you know, obviously top caliber college player, you know, going to the G League, playing overseas, that sort of thing. Recruiting wise in basketball, I mean, my brother played Division I basketball, mm-hmm. and I was in the room for his recruiting visits and everything mm-hmm. else. It's much different at a Power Five football school than it is Power Five basketball. What is your pitch? Because not everybody's going to the NBA. I mean, like George has talked about it. I mean, hey, you'd be lucky if one guy from your team gets an opportunity to sniff the draft.
Yeah.
What is the recruiting pitch to bring guys in to say, this is your path. This is the way you carved this thing out. I carved out a great career, a great future, like you are now director of recruiting, and I'm sure you're going even higher as we sit here and talk. I mean, your career is going to blossom, no doubt about it. What's your pitch?
I mean, it's just about, you know, coming to a situation in which, one, you're going to get a great academic degree, and, you know, you're going to be able to walk away with a degree from the University of Georgia that holds weight. You know, two, you're playing for a coach in Mike White, who is an unbelievable person, and, you know, a great coach who has tons of confidence in you. You know, he's going to let you play. He's going to give you freedom to go out there and play basketball. And, you know, he's going to hold you accountable, but he's going to give you that freedom. You know, Coach White has had great success with guys making it to the NBA at Florida, with guys, you know, making a all-conference award list. Coach has won at every level, every previous college he coached at, you know, La Tech, Ole Miss, Florida. I mean, he's won. So he has the track record of knowing how to get there. Coach also played at Ole Miss. So there's not many high major coaches who played the game of basketball at a high level, which, you know, right. Coach White has did that. So he's coach played professionally as well overseas. Right. So he's able to relate, and, you know, he's been there. He knows what it takes. Coach White may not have been as good as some of these guys, but, like, he knows what it takes. He's seen it. He lived it. And even for me, you know, I had, like you said, I had a pretty good career. Could have been better. You know, I've learned a lot, had a lot of success, you know, felt lot as well, but, you know, you learn from that, and just, you know, just relating to these guys and, you know, telling them, like, why not Georgia? Why can't you make it to the NBA? We just had the number one draft pick, Anthony Edwards, from Atlanta. He went to Georgia, so it's capable. You know, Nick Claxton get drafted beginning the second round. It's capable to have, you know, the success and to, you know, get to your future goals going to Georgia, and, you know, just telling kids that, you know. And you know, I think just with me being able to relate to them and being able to connect with them and, you know, show them kind of my career, but not just mine, but like KCPs and stuff like that, for guys who did it, who's making a lot of money at the NBA now. Like, it's possible to do it here. Why not come here and have a great opportunity to play for a great coach, to play in front of family and friends, and, you know, to wear a G on your chest? You know, G is one of the most powerful brands in the country. So, like, why not come here? Why not Georgia? So, you know, I just try to relate that and tell these recruits that. And I think, you know, for the most part, it has been working. But, I mean, it's capable of, you know, you're capable of reaching everything you want to reach coming to the University of Georgia to play for the basketball team.
Well, I mean, I'll say right now, it's working. It's working. I mean, you got nine recruits coming in. I mean, it's working. And I'm excited. Like George just said, I'm excited. But we appreciate you coming on the show, sharing a little bit about the basketball program. We want to bring you back on again after basketball really, you know, heats up, and you could, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about the players. But we want to kind of spread the wealth and spread the love, because here at 100 Sanford, it's all Georgia athletics. So we just want to kind of tap in on everything, especially when, you know, recruiting is so hot right now for basketball as well. So, Charles, yeah, Mann,
Junior. I appreciate you guys for having me. You know, it's a progress here. You know, we working, we want to take it day by day, but, you know, we're going to get this thing rolling for sure. But I appreciate you guys having me, and, you know, I look forward to talking to you guys in the future as well.
People no sleep doubt, on no Stegman, doubt. Man. Stegman can get rocking when you win it, when you win it, it gets rocking. I went there, you know, the girls was good. Tennessee would come to town with Pat, and the stadium, the roof blow out that thing. I remember they beat Tennessee once in there, and that thing felt like it was going to collapse. You know, the boys were good when I was there with Ezra Williams and D.A. Lane and Big Ant and, you know, Jarvis Hayes and Jonas Hayes. Like we used to have, those games used to be fun, man. Like Stegman is, you know, Stegman is a, you know, and that, Athens is a great college town for sports anyway. But Stegman can get rocking if you give him something to cheer about, you know, it can get rocking, man. So I'm looking forward to a resurgence in Georgia basketball. And, well, thank you for coming on talking about it with us, man.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, you know, we appreciate the fans, you know, everybody who supported us this past year, you know, great crowd. But, you know, just looking forward to this upcoming season. You know, we want to have that thing rocking. You know, it's a process. But, you know, we appreciate everybody who supported us and believe in, you know, what Georgia men's basketball is doing. And, you know, Coach White and staff, much love. And, you know, we'll be fine and get this thing going for sure.
All right. Charles Mann Jr., we appreciate you. Go Dawgs as always, and look forward to seeing you.
I appreciate you guys. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
All right, man, this little bit of basketball talk. I mean, I'm excited about it. You know, I mean, when you look at the football recruiting, that's one thing. You know, the Dawgs been doing what they've been doing since Kirby got there. Heck, even going back to Mark Richt, you know, they've been bringing in recruits. But when you start talking about the basketball program, especially, you know, with the excitement that Mike White came in with to begin with, you know, he comes from Florida. Everybody saw his success there. And you get rid of the guy that we don't want to mention. And then all of a sudden, you know, they started off a little bit hot last year. Then they kind of sizzled, right? It looked like they got tired, you know, kind of, I ain't going to say quit, but they didn't all buy in. You know what I mean? And I think that now he'll have his guys in there. We'll start to see a little bit different process of what they can do. You know, they finished 16-16 last year. I think their record is going to be much, much better. And they got some talent coming in. They got a lot of talented guys, but I'm excited about it.
Talent and size, man. It's gonna equal to more wins for sure. You know, I think it is you got to get guys that play and look the part. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's talking about 6'6", 6'7", 6'9", wings. We got a 7-footer now. Like, you know, those things matter.
Yeah.
You know, those things matter. So I look forward to the season to see what they're going to do.
Yeah. And one other thing that he mentioned, and people got to catch this, is that they're getting guys that are winners. You know, it's one thing that you get a guy that flips from or portals from a program that he's not playing at and he feels, you know, slighted. Nah, all these guys are winners. You get a D2 All-American Player of the Year in Sunahora. I mean, that kid can play, man. I mean, if you go back and you look at their film, Deloach, I've seen – probably half of VCU's games this last year. When they signed him, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Now they're starting to bring in some guys that got some talent. They're starting to bring in guys that got some attitude, athletic, team-oriented. The kid can flat-out play. The Noah Thomason kid, I mean, he, like he said, James Harden, you know, clone. I mean, the kid can play. Left-hander, strong guard that can get to the rack, can do the things he can do with the ball. So, as long as they can get these guys to come together, to believe in each other, to trust each other, it's easy to kind of get this thing rolling. Basketball is one of those things. I mean, heck, we've all played roll the ball out there in the black court and see what happens, right? All of a sudden, you're dominating the court, and nobody else can take you off. It's the same thing with college basketball, man. Same thing can be done, and I believe in Mike White, and I believe in that program, so I'm excited to see what they can do. But, you know, that's it on the recruiting front for Georgia football, Georgia basketball. This week we got the – what is it? It's the what's Kirby do down there, man? The hunt. The hunt that he has going on, man. So we got recruits coming up this weekend, a lot of big-time names, and you know what happens after, you know, you get that thing going on. A lot of names start popping and coming off the, you know – off the chart in terms of who's committing. And so it should be an exciting weekend, quite honestly, to see what happens after this weekend. After the Riola commitment, I think Jeremiah Smith is going to be in town. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I think Ryan Wingo is going to be in town. A lot of these receivers that people are pegging to possibly flip and go to Georgia, along with some other big-time recruits that are going to be in the building. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Can't wait. Can't wait.
No doubt, man.
All right, man. You got anything else you want to talk about, Big George?
Nothing else, man. I got having my first graduate this weekend.
Nice.
So, you know, my oldest daughter's graduating. So that'd be cool. That'd be great to – well, she's not graduating this weekend, but I'm taking her sisters up there to Dallas to see her graduate. On Monday. So it's going to be great. Proud pops.
Nice, nice. I got my son's last football game this weekend.
Hey, so. Man. Hey, that man out there schooling, man.
Who, man.
Who fastening your family, man?
What you talking about, man? You looking?
I don't know. Hey, man. I ain't know. It could be mama. I'll just make it.
Funny.
Little man be riding out.
Yeah, man. I was telling my wife the other day. I was like, you know, because my dad's side of the family's real tall. Everybody's 6'4" taller. You know what I mean? But my mom's side of the family, everybody's like this. Anywhere from like 5'10" to 6'1", all long and lean. Wide receivers. All my uncles were wide receivers and defensive backs and things like that. My other uncle played for Colorado, played for the Steelers. He's built just like him, man. And so, but he's a dog, man. He loves the game. You know what I mean? He loves watching anything. Anytime, like any of the players that, you know, I'll message and they message back and say, hey, man, tell little man to do his thing this weekend. I mean, he gets like, he takes that to heart. He'll go put on his Georgia gloves and be like, look, I'm about to go to work. So, and anytime that anybody across from him is saying something out of pocket, he takes it to heart. So, I mean, it's one of those things. We ain't going to be here too much longer, man. We got to go somewhere where he can get some work because he wants to work. And so we'll see what happens here in the future. But, yeah, it's his last game this weekend. He was all upset about it. But we'll find some other stuff for him to get into, some AAU track. Also, I think he wants to do some baseball, some basketball. So summer's coming, man, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, brother.
For sure.
But as usual, hey, man, I'll see you in a couple weeks, but see the fans in a couple weeks. But we'll see you at 100 Sanford.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.